Check, one, two, all right. Well, if you guys have a music stand or something I can use, right, possibly. Well, guys, this morning we're going to talk about the subject of prayer. So if you're taking notes, you might want to title this Bible study, Why Pray? Why Pray? And if you guys want to open to a few starting spots again, save a little bit of time. Thanks, bro. You can open to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6. And we'll see where else we need to go. I got to get set up real quickly. So how was you guys' time last night? Huh. It was kosher, huh? All right. Okay, let's see here. Matthew's Gospel 6, and there might be another one I'm missing here. Let's see. No, that's it for now. Matthew's Gospel 6. Sure, there'll be other stops along the way. Again, I just want to say, from my observation the past couple days, of you guys, just see you guys really are genuine, and you guys are excited to be here, and that's awesome. My youth group back at home is the extreme opposite, so they're very quiet, and they're like the frozen chosen, and they're just very stoic and calm. And even when we have an awesome rock band come out, even like a screamo band, they're very, very, very just, they just look at the band and stare, and that's all they do. And then the band asks me afterwards, were we good or do we suck? Or I'm like, no, you guys were great, but that's just our kids, all right? So don't take it personal, but it's encouraging to see that you guys are so pumped and excited, and that's good. And you guys have had some great songs up here. Those are catchy tunes and stuff. So, I don't know, it's just been fun watching you guys in the back there. But now we're going to study God's Word, all right? And after I go, so you guys have small groups and some lunch. Go get your grub on and see here. Okay, make sure I have everything. So Matthew 6, and again, it's if you title your messages, you might want to call this Why Pray, as we talk about prayer today. Father, we just come before you once again this morning. Just want to thank you so much, God, for your blessings in our lives, not just the physical, material, tangible ones, but the spiritual ones, which are the most important ones. We thank you, Father, that we're rich in Christ, that we deserve nothing from you, but you've given us everything and more. God, you're not just more than enough, you're too much. You're too much, God. A relationship with you and to you is just beyond my understanding. And so, God, we pray as we come before you once again to open your word, that your word would go out and it'd be living and active in our hearts this morning. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Nearly everyone in every generation at one time or another has felt the need to pray. Again, nearly every single person in every single generation has felt at one time or another the need to pray. Even unbelievers, heathens, will throw up a prayer to the man upstairs once in a while, as they like to call it, hoping that they'll get some kind of answer. Whether it's Buddhist, which they may repeat the prayer, I place my faith in Amida Buddha, thousands of times a day, hoping by their efforts to gain enlightenment. Hindus pray devoutly to their favorite gods and goddesses for knowledge, wealth, and protection. Many Asians pray to their ancestors and to the gods of Shinto or Tao, doing so in hopes of passing examinations in school, reaping good crops, or warding off diseases. Millions of Catholics seek favors from Mary by saying memorized prayers, perhaps with the aid of rosary beads. Many Jews travel great distances to pray at the Western Wall in Jerusalem, hoping for a restoration of the temple and a new age of prosperity and peace. All hoping, all wanting, all desiring that God, someone up there in the heavenlies, up there in the heavenly supernatural realm, is going to answer, is going to respond, is going to act to their prayers. Or a Muslim who has the five pillars of their faith. One of those prayers, or one of those pillars, being compulsory prayer, titled Selah, which they offer five times every single day. If you guys are taking notes, you might want to write these statistics down. According to a recent Gallup poll, 30% of Americans had a remarkable healing because of prayer. 90% of Americans claim to pray, 75% on a daily basis, 15% once a week, 6% less than once a week. In August 2001, 78% of Americans favored a constitutional amendment that favors prayer in school. So, prayer, the subject of prayer, does it really work? Does it really work? I say, yeah, it does. Now, some of you go, well, of course you would say it works, Eric. You're a youth pastor. Don't they pay you to pray for your kids and stuff? I mean, of course you would say prayer works. But also, the Bible, God's written word, says that prayer works. I go, Eric, well, I don't believe in the Bible. Last night that was a fun demonstration last night, battle of the religions or battle of the gods, but I'm still not convinced this morning. I don't believe in the Bible. But what if I were to tell you I found a couple of studies out there done by a group of doctors in the medical field, heathen, unbelieving doctors, that found some results. In fact, we have right here, again, some articles, and I'm not going to read all of them. It's titled, Can Prayer Heal? Could it be possible? Could prayers of a handful of people help someone, even someone on the other side of the world facing heart surgery? A few years back, Roy L. was heading into his third heart procedure. As this was a pretty serious procedure, he didn't really ask, but there was prayers offered on his behalf. He says, and I quote, I'm not a church-going man, but I believe in the Lord, he tells WebMD. If somebody prays for me, I sure appreciate it, and he's doing well now with his heart problems anyway. The only thing plaguing him presently is the onset of diabetes. And the article goes on and on to say that this man was healed and delivered because of prayer. And he goes, well, now that's just the cleverness of the doctors, Eric. That's not prayer, that's doctors, okay? We're too smart for God in this day and age, okay? Well, another study done in San Francisco General Hospital focused on the effects of prayer on 393 patients in the hospital's coronary care unit. This scientific method means that people were assigned to the study group or control group at random, and neither the people nor their attending doctors or the researchers knew who was being prayed for. Christians of several denominations performed the prayers. Prayer took place on a daily basis until the person was discharged from hospital. I emphasize again that the people in the coronary care unit did not know if they were being prayed for or not, and the researchers gathering the data were equally blind on this point. A good outcome was more frequent in those that were prayed for than those that were not prayed for. However, cardiac arrest, heart failure, pneumonia, intubation, and ventilation were less frequent in the prayed for group. The researchers focused on 26 new problems. And then the study goes on to show that, again, out of the 393 patients that were prayed for, the results were miraculous. Now, again, I have a few other studies, but for sake of time, I'm not going to read them all. But you're going to be thinking, okay, Eric, all right. You say prayer works because you're a youth pastor and you've seen it work out in lives that you minister to. You say the Bible says that prayer works and that's God's word, all right? You found a couple of studies and newspaper articles in different parts of the globe full of heathen doctors who are intellectual and smart seeing results to prayer as well. But I still got a problem this morning with prayer. What's that? Well, it's my prayers, Eric. Your prayers? Yeah, my prayers. See, I've been, you know how long I've been praying for a girlfriend, and no girl seems to look my way. I don't know what's wrong with me. I prayed for an allowance a few times, and mom and dad don't seem to be getting the hint from heaven. You know how long I've been praying for good grades in my classes, even though I don't study or do my homework, but I'm hoping that God would still give me an A for being his kid. I don't know. I mean, that's why. And see, now as a result, you're bitter. You're not only bitter towards God, you're bitter towards prayer because you're not getting any answers to your prayer. But could it be, if you're taking note at this point in the Bible study, that you're praying bad prayers? Faulty prayers? Is that possible, Eric? It is. Could it be that God, as God, has a prescribed way that he, as God, likes to be addressed and talked to and have conversation and communication? Could it be that God, well, sincerity is not enough to pray? Sincerity? Well, I have here from the children's ministry some children's prayers. Hear their prayers to the Lord. Dear God, please send me a new baby for mommy. The new baby you sent last week cries too much. Debbie, 7. Dear God, who did you make smarter, boys or girls? My sister and I want to know. Jimmy, 6. Dear God, how many angels are there in heaven? I would like to be the first kid in my class to know the answer. Norma, 8. Dear God, this is my prayer. Could you please give my brother some brains? So far he doesn't have any. Angela, age 8. Now here's another one. Dear God, please help me in school. I need help in spelling, adding, history, geography, and writing. I don't need help in anything else. Lois, 9. Dear God, I need a raise in my allowance. Could you have one of your angels tell my father thank you? David, 7. Dear God, I am saying my prayers for me and my brother Billy, because Billy is 6 months old and he can't do anything but sleep and wet his diapers. Diane, 8. Now, those are some cute little children's prayers. But some of those prayers are prayed here in the youth group, even in the sanctuary with the adults. Are your prayers all about you? Are they selfish, self-absorbed, self-centered, self-important, self-love, self-indulgent? Are they always about you? Again, sadly enough, those are the kind of prayers that we offer up to God. That's the only prayers we offer up to God. Yes, Lord, thank you for this beautiful day. It pleases me. can you please, God, give me a bright day and just plenty of food and, oh yeah, and just give me favor with my teachers. Amen. That's all you pray? Yeah, that's all I pray. That's all I do. Now, think about it. As you guys are probably asking about prayer this morning, you go, Eric, we always pray. We pray for the worship, pray for the Bible study, pray after the Bible study. We pray so much prayer. You know how much prayer went into this weekend? And you're thinking, but why do we pray? Well, before we go on with that, I've asked you guys to go to Matthew 6. And we're going to talk about not just what prayer is, but how do you pray so you don't pray bad prayers or faulty prayers or sinful prayers. Now, as you think about it, if you're taking note, the Webster's New World Dictionary definition of prayer is simply this: a humble request as to God. It's supplication. What's that? Well, God has chosen prayer as the means of communication and conversation. Think about it. You guys answer me this question. If I want to keep any relationship in my life fresh, current, present, living, vibrant, and again, it's just a relationship that is healthy and normal, what must take place in every single human relationship that I have? There it is, communication, conversation. If you stop talking to mom, you stop talking to dad, you stop talking to brother, sister, or friends, that relationship's not going to be healthy. That relationship's not going to be fresh or current or living or vibrant. And it's supposed to hit you, wait a minute, if every single relationship takes conversation, communication, to keep this thing healthy, it's the same thing with God. If the only time you pray to God is when you're here at the church building, it's no wonder your relationship with God stinks. It stinks. It's not healthy. It's not living. It's not fresh. It's not vibrant. No, this morning it's dead. It's cold. It's old. It's not anything to brag about. You see, if the only time you pray again is for your spaghetti for lunch, that's not real prayer. That's not a real strong prayer life. As we think about that, Jesus taught on the Sermon on the Mount. And this is one of the greatest sermons ever taught in human history. In fact, even some heathen English teachers say it's one of the greatest pieces of literature of all time. Matthew chapter 5 through Matthew chapter 7. See, Jesus here is teaching his disciples on true righteousness, or if you're taking note, right living. It's not just about being right with God. It's about living right. Living life the way it was meant to be lived from the author of life being God. And so Jesus here teaches on various subjects and topics, but he also addresses the subject of prayer and the greatest sermon ever given. Now let's go ahead and pick it up. Matthew 6, let's pick it up in verse 5. We read together, Jesus doing the speaking. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you that they have their reward. Verse 6, but you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, that means as a result of the previous knowledge given, do not be like them. For your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. Now, if you pause and give me your attention, it's quite clear here. Jesus doesn't just say, if you decide to pray, if you hope to pray. No, if you might get a pencil or pen to underline, it says when you pray. When you pray. Telling you and me this morning, Jesus is saying here that prayer is going to be a part, a normal part of the Christian life. A normal part of the Christian life, because unbelievers typically don't pray normally. But you, as a believer, when you pray, he first of all says, well, what does he say here? And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites. If you have a pencil or pen handy, circle that word hypocrites and put right next to it these words, stage player, or actor under an assumed character. Again, circle that word hypocrites. It means in the original Greek language, but put these English words, which are synonyms. Stage player, an actor under an assumed character. So what is he saying here? Well, let's go ahead and make it real practical right now. Jesus says, when you pray, Christian, disciple, follower, learner, student, believer, son of God, child of God, daughter of the Lord, don't be like a hypocrite. Don't put on a performance. Don't act. Don't put on a stage performance. You see, back then in that culture, they didn't have sound systems 2,000 years ago. And in that Greek culture, yes, sports was very popular, as well as the theater. And as these actors came out, and there would be people filling the stadium there, the seating, and they'd be far off in the back, you couldn't really hear what was going on down below. And so these actors would get large, huge, dramatic masks. Some were happy, some were sad, some were angry, some were confused. And so as I was looking on at this play or this performance, I can say, okay, this is what that actor is feeling. But behind the mask, they could have really not been happy. They could have really been angry and bitter and cynical. Or if they really were sad, they could have really been happy. And so he says, don't be like the hypocrites. Now, I don't know about you, but have you ever been in a prayer meeting before and you're in prayer groups? And this is the kind of prayers that I'll illustrate to you that you shouldn't pray. Have you ever gossipy prayers? Gossipy prayers. Have you ever been in a home group and there you are praying and there you are with your heads bowed down, your eyes are closed, maybe even hands are folded for effect. And as you're going around now, it's that person's time to shine the lights on them. It's their turn to pray. And they go, dear Lord, we just pray right now for, well, guys, before we pray, Mike and Debbie in the church are having problems. I can't really say what they're going through, but let's just lift them. Lift them. Okay. Father, we just come before right now. We lift for Mike and Debbie, and we just right now lift them up to you, Lord. And we know they're struggling with addictions and alcohol. Oops, did I say alcohol? Sorry, guys. I didn't mean to say that. And drugs and stuff. Oh, I just said it again. Silly me. What, I have to interrupt a prayer? You probably should know else what he's going on. Don't do gossipy prayers. Have you ever been in prayer meetings like that? They stop talking to God because God knows, by the way, and they start talking to everybody else in the group, and they use it as a gossip session. No gossipy prayers. Or how about this one? Maybe after Bible study, maybe after youth group, a bunch of you guys are going to go out to Chili's. Or I don't know if you have a Chili's around here, but you go out there to Chili's, and you're going to go out to dinner. But some of you guys always mooch off the youth group. You don't have any money, and so you always, well, this is what you do. Here you are in the prayer meeting. Dear Lord, I'm hungry. I haven't eaten in 2 days. God, please, you show up big, God. You show up. You show up, God. And it says in your written word in Philippians chapter 4, I think it's verse 19, that you will supply all my needs according to your riches and your glory, Lord. You show up, God, in a big way. Amen. Okay, guys, I guess you guys are going off to Chili's. Bye. See you later. And there's the other group. Oh, come on. You know you want to come with us. Let's go. We'll treat you. Oh, thanks, God. No, that wasn't God. That was you working the crowd again, okay? That wasn't God. All right? That was you letting everybody else know your need, making them feel bad. And that wasn't God showing up. That was you, again, working the crowd. So no gossipy prayers and no prayers that you're manipulating the crowd. How about this one? Have you ever been in a prayer group? I know I have. When they start preaching to the group, Lord, we come before you right now. And we pray, God, that you would change the church. Yes, Lord, we are told in the Greek and in the Hebrew that you are, well, in the Hebrew, it's El Shaddai. You are Lord God Almighty. But we also know that Jehovah Rapha means Lord my healer, and Jehovah Jireh means Lord my provider. Yes, God, we pray for people that have piercings and bleached hair, that you would change them, because we know that's sinful. We know, Lord, that wearing shorts is not righteous or holy. We only wear pants in the house of God. And God, we ask that you would... Have you ever been in prayer meetings like that? Where they start putting their own convictions, their own opinions on the prayer group, making everyone feel bad? I guess I got bleached hair. I got to dye it real quick. You know, and that's what they do. Have you ever been in prayer meetings where they start trying to be, well, they use old King James? Art fathereth. We come beforeeth, youeth, and we ask this morningeth that you would worketh. Please worketh. Now, I want to say, now, if you pray in old King James, I'm not wanting to make fun of you or bash on you or make you feel uncomfortable this morning. If you are so sincere, all power to you. But if you're only using Old King James language, I want to say why. First of all, you're not from England, unless you are, forgive me. Secondly, it's 1611, it's 2007. We don't talk like that anymore. What if I go to Nick and say, Nicketh, Crespoeth, will you please get me a bottle of water if, before I teach if, thank you if. No, we don't talk. Nick would say, what's going on with you, Eric? I thought you were from California. You know, it's just like, again... What about this one? Maybe it's a guy, and it's at the Bible college. I went to Bible college, graduated 5 years ago, and you go to the Bible college, and there's always guys trying to impress the girls, always trying to impress the sisters. And they go out there, and there they are in the group, and there's the girls, and there's the guys, and we're going to go out to Bible college here. We're all holy up here, and now we're going to go, and you want to be the first one as a guy to say, I think we should pray. So there you are. I think we should pray about that. And there's the girls, oh, look at his heart. He always wants to pray. Yes, let's go ahead and right now go before the throne. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Jesus, oh, I love when he says Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, we come before you right now. And what are you doing? Again, you're trying to impress the sisters. Again, it's the same thing. By the girls' dorms, there's a gazebo. And sometimes guys would take a guitar out to lead worship out of 46 acres of land. They happen to go in the gazebo in front of all the girls' dorms. And there they are. Holy fire. It's working. Burn away my desire. And I kid you not, you start seeing all the girls come out of their dorms. With their Bibles, they're surrounding this one guy at the gazebo. Oh, look at him, how he worships. He's got an angel voice. More of none of me, but it's all about you. Yes, and that's what they're doing. Guys, gossipy prayers, show up big prayers, working the crowd prayers, old King James prayers. Again, guys, those are the bad prayers that you shouldn't be praying, because you're not talking to God anymore. You're talking to man. And so Jesus says, hey, no prayers. Don't put on a show. Don't put on a stage performance. And then he goes on, for they love the hypocrites as pray standing in the synagogues on the corners of the streets. They have the reward. Now look what he says. He says, don't use in verse 7 vain repetitions. Well, Eric, that doesn't apply to us as Christians at Calvary. We're not Catholics praying rosary beads. But wait a minute. Wait a minute. What about the only prayers maybe growing up you had to memorize the Lord's Prayer And maybe there you are brushing your teeth up there, and there's your mom. Did you pray your prayers, Johnny? Hopefully she doesn't have a voice like that, but did you pray your prayers, Johnny? And there you are going, our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name, the kingdom come, thy will be done, thy will be done in heaven. Yeah, I said my prayers. Good night, Lord. Okay. Now, vain repetition is why? Because there's no heart. There's nothing attached to it. Nothing attached to it at all. In fact, if you're praying repetitions here, well, think about it. Could God answer prayers? How big is God? I thought you'd never ask that question, but think about it. I'm going to right now take you to the throne of God. Let's go ahead and fast forward here. It's Revelation 4. And there he is sitting on the throne, and there's a sea of glass. There's a rainbow encircling the throne. He's got these living creatures with eyes front and back. You got six wings coming out. And the Bible tells us that there are three types of angels. I could be wrong, but there's about three types of angels. There's ministering angels, messenger angels, and military angels. Ministering, messenger, military. Ministering, well, when was that shown up? Well, I thought you never asked that either. If you go to Luke's Gospel 22 for homework, or you go to Matthew's Gospel chapter 4, you notice that when Jesus was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, sweating out submission to the Father's will, that it says in verse 40 of Luke 22 that an angel showed up to strengthen Jesus, to minister to him. We're also told in Matthew's Gospel chapter 4 that when Jesus was tempted for 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness, in the desert, led by the Spirit of the God, by the way, after his baptism, before he began his public ministry, that an angel showed up to minister. A couple angels showed up to minister and serve him. Okay, that's ministering angels. But what about messenger angels? Well, we're also told in Luke's chapter 1 or maybe chapter 2 where the angel Gabriel showed up to Mary, the Virgin Mary, and said, hey, you have in your womb, you have in your stomach there the Messiah, the Christ. You're going to call him Jesus. We also saw another messenger angel show up to Daniel, the prophet, as he had to wrestle with the demon, the prince of Persia, for 21 days to get him this supernatural revelation message to him. And Michael, the archangel, came and helped him out. Military angels. Well, we see in 2 Corinthians chapter 19, verse 35, that as the Assyrians, how brutal were the Assyrians? Thought you never asked that either. Assyrians are pretty brutal, and there they are. Did you know that when Assyrian soldiers, they're so cruel, they're so brutal, they're so rough, that when they would capture and enrapture their enemy, their opposing army, they would torture and torment them. They would get these poles and stick them and watch them as their spinal cord and their backside would go through as they sat impaled there. These guys were some rough guys. And now they were going to attack Israel, the Jews, God's chosen people. So King Hezekiah says, God, what are we going to do? They outnumber us. They're cruel. They're ha, 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 ha. Okay, pray for us, God. What can you do? What does God do? He sends one. Just one military angel, 2 Corinthians 19:35, he kills these guys, and in the morning, the corpses of 185,000 rugged, rough Assyrian soldiers lie dead by one military angel. How strong is one angel? That's pretty strong. Military angels, messenger angels, ministry angels, there they are flapping their wings, ready to do God's will at any beck and call. The military angels' pecs are getting bigger because they've been flapping for so long, they're getting just ripped. Now there they are waiting, okay, God, ready to do your will. What do you got? And now there's God sitting on the throne. Now he's got rainbow, he's got thunder and lightning coming out, peals of thunder there. He's got voices sound like rushing rivers, deep and majestic and powerful. He's got all these things going on. There's God. How big is God? Well, we're here in Albuquerque, New Mexico, but what county are we in? I don't know. Bernalino. What county? Bernalino. Bernalino? Bernalillo. Okay, DiGiorno. Okay, I don't know. Bernalillo. Okay, now, think about how God, big is God. Okay, we're in this county here in the city of Albuquerque, and we're in the state of New Mexico. What country are we in? It's America. What continent are we on? What planet are we on? Okay, what's our system called? Solar system. What galaxy are we in? The Milky Way. Now, did you know that there are billions, there are millions of stars and galaxies out there? The Bible says that God, now this is a span. Hold your hand out. From your thumb to your pinky is the span. I got a small hand because I'm a small guy. Probably could fit a Dodger dog. I don't know. But the Bible says in the span of God's hand, he holds the entire universe. How big is the universe? Well, here's God sitting on the throne holding this universe, and we now go deep and we flash back real quick, and you've got all this universe, all these galaxies, down to the Milky Way, down to the solar system, down to planet Earth, down to the continent of North America, down to the state of New Mexico, down to this county, down to the city of Albuquerque, to you. Wow. That's pretty big. Now, there's some heathen somewhere in Albuquerque going, I can beat you up. You don't exist. There's God. Got these angels flapping, military messenger ministering. Got thunder and lightning voices going off. Sitting, seeing a glass rainbow around there. He holds the whole universe in his hand. You said what? Now, if I were God, and good thing I'm not, I want to say, what is this little puny ant threatening me for? Angel, I don't even send a military angel. I'll send a messenger angel to, you know, whip your butt. No, God could do that. But God is big. Here these guys are. There's the weekend there in 2007. Let's see what the prayers the kids offer up. God, we're ready to do your beck and will there. We're ready to do it. And there we are. Lord, bless the spaghetti. Father, in Jesus' name, amen. It's a spaghetti prayer. That's all they pray at Calvary. Spaghetti prayers. We're ready to do change the world for Christ through your prayers, the prayers of the church, but all they can pray is spaghetti prayers. Let's send Clarence the angel over there. Okay, Clarence is going to go over there. It's a spaghetti prayer. Clarence is going to do it. All right, Clarence. Okay, Clarence, it's a spaghetti. Go ahead and do it, Clarence. There you go. Meatballs. Okay. Guys, think about it. You have this mighty God. All the Bible also says in Isaiah that he holds all the oceans of the earth in the hollow of his hand. That's your hollow right there. So you have this big, mighty, powerful God with these angels ready to do God's will, be at his beck and call. And what have you prayed lately? Help me pass my math test? Help me get a girlfriend? That's it? Again, is it no wonder you're not getting any results to your prayers? Now, Jesus says, when you pray, when you do pray, go in your room. Go in your prayer closet, shut the door and pray. And think, well, Eric, then nobody will know. Exactly, that's the point. Nobody's supposed to see you pray. No one's supposed to know your needs. It's that more special when you pray to God and only you and God know what that need is. And then God does answer that prayer. And now it's more special because you go, wow, God, you heard me. I didn't even tell my mom or dad. I didn't tell anybody about this prayer that I threw up to you the other day or the other month or the other year. And now you answered it in your perfect timing. I can't believe God heard me. You see, that's what Jesus is trying to teach here. When you pray, go into your prayer closet. Be by yourself because it's more secret, it's more special, it's more sacred, it's more holy, it's more happy. Okay? That's what he's trying to say here. So prayer, we're going to be coming to a close here in a little bit because I know you guys are also wanting time to eat. But if you're taking note, we're going to close with this. There's about three or four points I have to make here in my conclusion. Let me tell you, according to Scripture, the Bible, why God doesn't answer certain prayers. It says in Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he exists and he's a rewarder of diligent those who seek him. What's that? God loves it when you trust him. If you come to prayer, God in prayer, and you pray these prayers to God, but you really don't believe that he's going to answer it, that's an insult to heaven. Because again, you got these angels waiting around. You got the people who came before us, the saints of old. And there you are as a Christian on bended knee. Jesus, I just pray right now. I don't really believe you're going to answer this, but here's God. Now, the Bible says that God sits on the throne. He doesn't pace the throne. He doesn't stand before the throne. He sits on the throne. He's in total control. Let me give you an example. Sometimes as a youth guy, as a youth minister or whatever, I've done a few funerals, by the way, and sometimes I'll have a person come up to me and they'll go, Eric, I got a headache. Can you please pray for me? Okay, let's pray. Father in heaven, we come before right now. We pray for this guy's headache. And in Jesus' name, amen. Now, hey, buddy, I got some Motrin right here. If it doesn't go away here, take some Motrin. Okay, it didn't take that much faith. But if you come to me and go, Eric, I found out my mom, she's got lung cancer. Could you please pray? Now, if I go, yeah, let's go ahead and pray right now. And sometimes I'll have a kid or an adult say, that's all you're going to do? You don't care? You know, now, what did you expect me to do? If you're coming up crying and all, oh, God. Now, what am I supposed to do? What? She's got cancer? God, let's pray. Jesus, we come before you right now. No, why? Because I'm misrepresenting God. I'm not going to go, Lord, and then there's God. What? Cancer? Oh, I don't know how to do this. I'm getting too old for this. Angels, do you have an answer? I can't heal cancer. Oh, no, that's not God. God's sitting on the throne in complete control. Cancer, no problem. Let's do this. And that's why I'm supposed to represent God to the people. Okay, let's go ahead and pray before the Lord. It's got cancer. All right, let's go ahead and do that. Lord, we come before right now. I don't have to work up emotion. Perspiration doesn't mean inspiration. I don't have to do all this to get a towel out and go, well, I tell you, Lord, and I say it. I don't need to do that. I don't know to do. I don't need to do theatrics. Okay. Now, here's why. Here's why I say it. Because if you look up Hebrews 4:16 says, "Let us come boldly before the throne of God, which is the throne of grace, and find grace and obtain mercy in our time of need." Now, some churches have interpreted that verse very wrongly. Well, it says boldly. So I came before the Lord and I said, "Lord, you need to give me this right now." No, that's not what that verse means. That doesn't mean you yell and you scream and you tell God, I said God. No, who are you to come before the throne of grace and tell God what to do? No, that means let us come boldly. It means let us come boldly before the throne of God, not because of who I am, but because of who he is. And I come in the name of his son, Jesus Christ, clothed in his robe of righteousness, dipped in his blood. That's why it says, let me now come boldly before the throne of God, Hebrews 4:16, and obtain mercy and find grace in my time of need. It's not me going, and I said, God, to give me that portion. I claimed it. I blabbed it. I grabbed it. I named it. I claimed it. No. I don't need to wear a towel up here and get you worked up and do cartwheels and flips and, hey, can I get an amen? Can I get a witness? No. In fact, I went to bed about 3 a.m. when I first got here. So I got home late. Not that I normally stay up that late. And I was flipping through the channels, and you guys have like 5 or 6 preachers on at 2:30 a.m, by the way, and here in Albuquerque. And there I am in my hotel room. And I see a Catholic priest teaching. I see 2 Calvary guys teaching. I see a few Pentecostal guys. And this one Pentecostal guy has got all this jewelry on. And he's saying, if you call right now, I'm going to send you my free miracle olive oil soap. And then they had testimonials. They had a microphone, and here's the girl. I was taking a bath, and I was healed. Praise God. You know, and some guy. I was using the soap the other day in the shower. I had arthritis in my knees. I put the soap around my knees. I got healed. I got healed. Wait, what is that about? Is it really in the soap? Pope on a rope? No, it's not. No, it's not soap. Well, maybe if I use Dove, right? Because that's the Calvary soap, Dove, 1/4 moisturizer for my skin. No, guys, it's not faith in faith or faith in prayer. It's faith in the God that you're praying to. Okay, guys, keep that in mind. Here's 1, why you don't get answers to your prayers, because you have no faith. 2, your prayers don't get answered because James 4:3 says, you ask and do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures. You go on and on in that verse. Again, is it all about you? 3, another reason why you may not be getting answers to prayers, you're talking to yourself, not to God. Talking to myself? Yeah, talking to yourself. It's Luke's Gospel 18, verses 9 through 14. Look it up for homework. You remember the Pharisee and the tax collector? Pharisees, they're standing up. Oh, God, I thank you that I'm not like other guys, extortioners, murderers, thief. And he goes on and on, even like this tax collector over here. Now, the guy over here is over here beating his breast, beating his chest. Oh, God, please have mercy on me, a sinner. He doesn't even look toward heaven. Jesus says that guy went justified. Now, here's lastly, 4. The fourth reason, last point, why you may not be getting answers to your prayers is there's sin in your life. Now, if a guy is living with a girl, God, please bless this relationship. I can't bless that relationship because you're living in sexual immorality. See how that works? Let me ask you something, guys. It says in Proverbs 28:9, one who turns away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer, is an abomination. That means disgusting. That word abomination means disgusting. Your prayer to God is disgusting when you don't hear his law. When you don't hear his law. Now, what has God asked you to give up lately? And you're over here going, huh, God doesn't answer my prayer. I can't believe God doesn't answer my prayer. And God's saying, yeah, but you haven't done what I've asked you to do. Is there something or someone in your life right now, maybe it's a relationship that's not holy, that needs to be broken up? Maybe there's an attitude you have that you need to get rid of. Maybe there's something that you're doing, a little brother, little sister, that, well, you're beating him. I don't know. Making fun of him. Lord, we pray for your blessing. And there you are. Now, I see that sometimes in youth ministry. We come to youth ministry. Oh, I serve the youth pastor. I'll do whatever you want, God. Here, I'll sweep up the floor. I'll do all this stuff. Then you go home. Mom says, can you wash the dishes? Do it yourself, old lady. Now, Where did that come from? There you are at Calvary, Albuquerque. I serve Jesus. What do you need, Nick? What do you need, Kevin? I'll do this for you. Then you go home. Son, can you mow the lawn? Son, can you wash the dishes? I don't do that. I just pray. No. Guys, again, it's all a matter of attitude and sin in your life. What sin do you have in your life? And man, to be honest with you, that's just not kosher. I mean, it's just not. So, go ahead and close your Bibles, guys. We're going to close in a word of prayer. Does prayer work? Well, I'm one man standing right here that says yes, it does. You see, for years, in my high school years, I was a rebel at first with a cause. But as I was there, my mom, faithful and true, used to come into my room every night and pray for me. Sometimes she would read the Bible for me, then I'd push the Bible away. She would kiss me goodnight, and I'd turn my cheek away. I was a rude guy, had an attitude problem. But every single night, my mom, even when I was sleeping, would come in and go before the throne of God and lift her son to the Lord Jesus Christ. Did God answer her prayers? Well, yeah, I wouldn't be here right now if he didn't, you know, if you think about it. So, I mean, yeah, God is an amazing, amazing guy. Man. And guys, tonight our study is going to be about, well, I'm still praying about it. okay, well, I have something. Don't worry. I have something to say tonight. It might either be on, well, I'm praying about gossip, or we might talk about bagging on people, or we might talk about failing in the faith. Do you as a Christian still sin? And what happens when you do fail in the faith? So I don't know. We're praying about it right now. Well, I'm praying about it right now. And we'll see what God has to say to us tonight. But let's go ahead and close in one last word of prayer. And then your leaders are going to direct you to what's next. Father, we just come before you right now and just want to thank you so much, God, for just your blessing in our lives again. And just that you answer prayer. That you, God, do show up. You do work on our behalves. Lord, help us to pray prayers that are pleasing to you. And that are not faulty or sinful or just bad. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.